is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Tim Murray, who is filling in for Michael Lombardi. Tim usually with us here on Saturdays for a guest spot, but it's tournament time. He's going to do the whole damn show.
Yeah,
also,
baby.
Check out Tim on VSiN Primetime Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern here on VSiN. But, Tim, we had Justin Perry on. Thank you to him who joined us in the last segment. If you missed him, make sure you check it out in podcast form. Just search the Lombardi Line wherever you get your podcast. Justin Perry of Shot Quality does a lot of terrific work there. We will have a fun second hour for you guys as well. 15 minutes from now, our buddy Wes Reynolds here at VSiN, analyzing the college hoops, host of VSiN Tonight. He'll join us to give out his plays, as will Matt Eumanns 30 minutes from now. So you'll want to stick around here for this jam-packed Thursday show as we get you closer to tip-off between Dayton and Arizona here. But Tim, I mean, we were talking about it during the break, man. The story of this tournament has been this Oakland Golden Grizzlies team. What they did Thursday evening against Kentucky. I mean, Golkey is a guy I had never heard of until I'm watching the game. And the guy hits 10 three-pointers. They knock out one of the kind of chic, trendy picks to make a Final Four, maybe even to win the whole thing in Kentucky, as Cal once again has an upset loss to a double-digit seed. This Oakland team, man, it's now they face NC State with a chance to go to the Sweet 16, which is insane to say out loud.
It really is. And, you know, credit to Greg Campy, and we're going to get to a clip of his in just a moment. But I do wonder, more often than not, and, you know, Chris Felica had a tweet, and I'll pull it up here, regarding how these 14 seeds have fared when they move on a little bit further. And, you know, that's the question that you always have to wonder. So I do wonder if someone like, you know, Jack Golkey is going to have another ridiculous performance. This was the tweet from Felica. He said, NC State Oakland, this is the seventh 11 versus 14 matchup. Each of the previous six were won by the 11 seed by at least 13 points. They are 6-0 ATS, the 11 seed is, versus the 14 seed. Wow. So I don't know if that's indicative for today. The market's actually betting Oakland here a little bit. Mm-hmm. I would push back on that. Look, I think NC State's going to win this game. You know, NC State has, though, played a lot of basketball here as of recently. And that was kind of what Greg Campy was alluding to. So it was funny. You get a lot of these coaches that keep it so close to the vest. And it felt like with this clip we're going to play you that Greg Campy kind of said the quiet thing out loud.
Well, we're going to have to change completely from the Kentucky game. We wanted to hold pace, slow it down, you know, keep them in the 70s. With North Carolina State, we want to speed up because this is their seventh game in 11 days, and they got to have tired legs. And so we want to push the ball, make that big dude run. They got a couple big dudes. We want to make them run, and hopefully we can get them tired. I mean, those legs have got to be tired, seven games in 11 days. So they're going to be playing on adrenaline, and if we can, you know, push that, maybe get a little bit of a lead, maybe something could happen good for us.
I mean, you hear that clip, but how do you not think to bet the over? here's the head coach of the team saying, hey, we're going to run. That's what we're doing. We're going to make that big dude, the big dude, DJ Burns Jr., who's my favorite player of the tournament, watching him in the ACC tournament.
Those nimble last week. Feet.
I mean, the man has the best touch around the rim that I've ever seen in college basketball. But, I mean, he's telling you right there, and we've seen the total get bet a little bit. This was earlier, 146, now we're 147. Still some 146 and halves out there in the market, but how do you not bet the over when you hear the coach of the team telling you, we're just going to run and see what happens?
That's great. I mean, Greg Campy is at the point in the NCAA tournament where, look, they're one of the flavors of the month. This is the beauty of the tournament. Sorry, Tom Izzo. We like to see these double-digit seeds. Now, do we like to see them make deep runs?
No.
St. Peter's and teams like that. But that all being said, I do think ultimately NC State should win this game. Have I bet this game, though? I have not, Femi. So, yeah, we have the list right here of the double-digit seeds that have moved on. And look, you're going to have at least one of them make the Sweet 16, as I alluded to, for the 16th consecutive tournament. But I think a couple other of these are going to be live in their second round matchup.
So we have eight of them up right now. For the listening audience, I'll read them off for you. The viewing audience, you can follow along with us here looking at the graphic. Colorado, Duquesne, NC State, Oregon, James Madison, Grand Canyon, Yale, Oakland. That's 8 double-digit seeds that made it to the round of 32. How many do you think that we'll see in the round of 16?
Well, we know NC State, Oakland, obviously. That's one. Yep. I think Oregon has a real good shot to win this particular game. And you heard Greg McDermott talk about the fact that this team was, you know, underseeded, and that's, you know, classic coach talk. Yeah. Oh, you know, the team we're playing is over, is underseeded, you know. So, but I do think Oregon at the peak of their powers, which is what they've been playing at, is not an 11 seed, right? They just underachieved the majority of the year. I'll say three. And I think one of James Madison or Grand Canyon is going to win. And I'm sure you'll preview these games a little bit more in depth tomorrow. Those two games are Sunday games, but we started the show kind of looking back at what we saw last night, and you watch James Madison, Wisconsin, and you watch Grand Canyon, St. Mary's. You take off the little number that is by their, you know, by their name, and you would have shrugged your shoulders and say, "Well, who's the 12 seed and who's the 5 seed here?" You know, yeah. James Madison athletically is not going to be blown off the floor by a Duke team, and I think what this game comes back down to is, you know, turnovers. And you looked at what James Madison was able to do last night against Wisconsin, just continue to turn the Badgers over time after time. Now, Duke does have, you know, veteran guards led by Jeremy Roach there. So it feels like Jeremy Roach has been playing in Durham for about a decade. Mm-hmm. So is, you know, Duke, a veteran team from the backcourt, going to be able to avoid the turnovers? This is a team that does not turn the ball over, right? 31st in the country in turnover rate. So I think that's a fascinating matchup. Early market saying that they believe in Duke. Duke has been bet up to 7.5 here. So fascinating to see how this will all play out. But then you look at Grand Canyon, you go up against an Alabama team that is so Jekyll and Hyde. And yeah. I said it last night on VSiN Primetime, you know, we took a little fun bet on them to first to 10 here at Circa, which was fortunate to hit. But this Alabama team, Femi, they will either blow you out or they're going to lose. And yeah. I think Grand Canyon, with the athleticism that they have, you know, you look at a 6-point spread here between Grand Canyon and Alabama, on the surface, you'd say, oh, man, Alabama's going to blow them out. This team is so bad defensively, and I want to bring up one number here to you about this Grand Canyon Alabama game. So Grand Canyon got to the free throw line yesterday against St. Mary's, Femi, 36 times.
Wow.
When you look at free throws as a point distribution on KenPom, 25% of their points come from the free throw line. And the reason I bring that up, Alabama loves to foul. They let their opponents get to the free throw line. 22.8% of their opponents' points come from the free throw line. So it's a team that fouls and a team that gets to the foul line in Grand Canyon. That's going to be really interesting. And oh, by the way, Grand Canyon shoots pretty well from the free throw line at 75%.
That's really good for a team percentage right there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be careful with what I'm about to say here, because the point spread obviously matters, and it's very sharp, and there's a reason why it exists. But isn't this one of those games, given how high the total is, 168.5 is the total over at DraftKings,
which is down from the Alabama-Charleston yeah. game.
They're usually hanging soared in the over. 170s here. How about 190-something for
the
Lander total?
Play the alts on that one. No matter.
With the game being played at the pace that Alabama likes to play it, isn't this – if Grand Canyon covers that number, there's a good chance they just win the game. Like, yeah. I think if you like Grand Canyon, the point I'm making is that you're also obligated to put a little bit on the money line there at plus 200.
I totally agree. And that's kind of what I said yesterday with Charleston. In a joking matter, I said, look, I have not bet this game. If I were to bet it, you know, we're doing a little competition on VSiN Primetime, and we get to pick a big dog that could win outright. And my big dog was Charleston, because I'm like, they're either going to win or get blown out. Now, they didn't ultimately get blown out, but I didn't think the 13-point final score was necessarily indicative, Femi, of how that game played out. But I agree. I think if you believe that Grand Canyon can keep this close, can cover this score. Oh, by the way, did you see those fans? They're everywhere, man. Yeah. Spokane, Washington, watch out. I mean, Grand Canyon has come to town, and they're going to be there certainly tomorrow night. But no, I agree. If you like Grand Canyon, absolutely should be looking to sprinkle, you know, on the money line there.
Yeah, the Lopes. And that's a bet that I'm probably going to make there, just because I also bet Charleston. I've been itching to fade Alabama once we got in the tournament, just based on their style of play.
Mickey Mouse Conference. You know.
It's the Mickey Mouse Conference of the SEC. Just based on how Alabama doesn't defend, which is kind of the theme for a lot of these SEC teams. Auburn defends, but Auburn just kind of just threw up on themselves yesterday. But, I mean, we saw Florida not defend. Kentucky obviously didn't defend. Bama, they've been one of the worst defensive teams of the power conferences. I think this is the spot where they get clipped. I do like Grand Canyon to ultimately pull off the upset. They're taking the six, and they've been plus 200 on the money line. I think that's a pretty solid look heading into tomorrow's games.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get to work. Adam Burke, I'm going to write this one up.
Send it
over to you, vsin.com. Make sure you check out all the write-ups over there.
Make sure you do that. Maybe we'll post this clip and add that to the article as well.
I like that.
A little video embedded. Midwest region. And we have all the regions right now, the updated numbers. Right now in the Midwest, Purdue is the favorite, plus 140, Tennessee plus 330. The West, though, is the one that seems to have the most parity, just given the fact that you have the one seeds and the two seeds thought of highly. Arizona, the two, is the favorite at plus 200, UNC plus 320. Then it goes down to Baylor, 5-1, Bama plus 550, Michigan State, 10-1. Any region bets that you would make after seeing the first round games?
Baylor is a team that I've eyed up. I had them coming out of the West region. I thought this region was very open. I'm going to push back a little bit on Justin. And I think Dayton has a live chance today because of how slow they play and how well they shoot the three. If they get hot from three, watch out. You know, this could be an upset situation brewing. And we know Tommy Lloyd's small, but his sample size has not been great. But if Baylor could continue to play the way they played offensively, look, they shot out of their minds. But on the broadcast, I don't know if you caught this. The broadcaster said that Scott Drew told them if Langston Love was healthy, and he will be out, we know, this first weekend, maybe comes back a little bit later. If Langston Love was healthy, this is the best offensive team he's ever had at Baylor.
And they bet some pretty good ones.
They had some good ones. One that won a national championship a couple years ago.
They were pretty good a couple years ago there in that game, beating the undefeated Gonzaga Bulldogs. All right, Wes Reynolds joins us next year to break down today's card on the Lombardi Line. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Tim Murray helping break down this Saturday second round day in the NCAA tournament. We have reached the round of 32. A lot of fun games that we have on deck. And to help us break things down even further, we're bringing in our buddy Wes Reynolds. You can check him out Monday through Friday on VSiN tonight, 11 to 2 a.m. Eastern time, 8 to 11 Pacific time. Wes, hope all is well. Hope the tournament has been treating you well. We'll start off with the game over in Charlotte where the number one seed North Carolina Tar Heels are hosting, I don't know if you heard about this one, Wes, January, February, Izzo, Michigan State catching four, total 141.5. Will it be a Sparty party later on this afternoon in Charlotte?
Well, I hope we get March Izzo once again like we did on Thursday. And look, these are two teams that like to, you know, run off the secondary break, but they're both very good transition defenses. So I haven't decided what I'm doing with the total yet. A little bit of lean to the under here, but look, I like what I saw out of Michigan State on Thursday because I didn't have the confidence or the conviction to bet either side there because I didn't know what we were going to get on Michigan State. But what we got was some pretty good shot making from Jaden Makins and also Tyson Walker, and got really good defense. And I know it was Mississippi State's offense, but it was also Michigan State's defense. And look, with North Carolina, I know they covered against Wagner and kind of toyed with them, but I had North Carolina as the weakest of the four number one seeds coming into this tournament. Nothing that I saw on Thursday changed my mind there. So, look, this is only a 4-point spread, and it's actually now 3.5 at a couple spots. But I wasn't impressed with North Carolina in the ACC tournament. I really wasn't impressed on Thursday. And, look, Michigan State may be kind of coming together at the right time. So you're going to have to execute in the half court here. And if that's a half court game, I favor Sparty.
So the first game of the day, early wake-up call in Salt Lake City, 10:45 local time there in Salt Lake, 12:45 Eastern. And as we are sitting here, Circa just went to 8 on this game. DraftKings is 8.5, still some 9s out there. You know, there's some differing opinions out there. Justin Perry, who joined us in studio, liked the favorite. I like the dog a little bit. I haven't gotten to the window. Maybe you could push me over the top here because the profile of Dayton, in my opinion, Wes, a slow team that shoots threes well, that is your profile that you want for an upset-minded team. How do you look at Dayton and Arizona about to get underway here in a little bit?
Yeah, I look at it the same way, Tim, and I like the Flyers here because – they deny in transition. And what does Arizona do best is get into transition offensively. But Dayton really denies you. Dayton's got a good big guy in Daron Holmes who, you know, is going to be a very good defender down there, even though they kind of put him in that little drop coverage in the half court. But look, Dayton reminds me a little bit last year, kind of what Arizona saw in the first round against Princeton, like you mentioned, where slow it down a little bit, run half court, shoot threes. And I think that this is a tough matchup, actually, for Arizona. Tommy Lloyd, by the way, is 0-5 so far against the number in NCAA tournament games. I think you maybe make it 0-6 here. I thought this number was high, and the market clearly agrees right now.
Yeah, it's so funny, the NCAA tournament. Dayton, here they are. Miracle comeback against Nevada. Now they might be live against Arizona right now. We're hanging out with Wes Reynolds, host of VSiN tonight. Check it out Monday through Friday, 11 to 2 a.m. Eastern time. Well, Wes, let's stay in Salt Lake City. The game after Dayton, Arizona is Gonzaga and Kansas. Gonzaga looked awesome against McNeese. Kansas barely survived against Samford. So the Bulldogs, of course, now laying 4 against a shorthanded Jayhawk squad. Total 152. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, this is more of a number play, and I took 4.5 with Kansas, and this is a Kansas look. I kind of thought after they, you know, squeaked by Stanford, I'm like, okay, the end of the line comes in the next round. Gonzaga certainly exceeded market expectations. They were only 6-point favorite against McNeese State, and, you know, it was never even a sweat. It was a no-doubter from the get-go, and we know Kansas is really shorthanded, but both these guys, actually, both the post defenders, one on Kansas side, Hunter Dickinson, and then Graham Ike on the Gonzaga side, have actually been very good this year. Surprisingly enough for Dickinson, who kind of has a reputation as not being a good defender. But look, this Gonzaga team, and you mentioned it, Femi, like it's kind of how funny perception changes overnight. Kind of like, you know, Dayton gets their scare against Nevada and has to come all the way back to win. It's kind of the same thing with Gonzaga. About 3 weeks ago, before they beat Kentucky, we were like, this team's not making the tournament. They don't have any good wins. You know, this team is not that good. They didn't get Steele Venters healthy this year, the transfer from Eastern Washington. So they're not really a great shooting team. But I just thought that this number was a little bit high. I do think Gonzaga is down from their normal standards. So it was more of a number play, not necessarily a long-term belief in Kansas, but I thought this number came high based on the performances we saw on Thursday.
Wes Reynolds joining us here on the Lombardi Line. And you can, of course, catch Wes every weeknight with Matt Eumanns on VSiN tonight. He joins us on a progressive guest line. Let's get to the story of the tournament so far. Jack Golke, his 10 three-pointers. He has attempted 8 two-point field goals the entire season. And I believe the number's up to 347 three-pointers attempted. We just played a clip, Wes, of Greg Campy, the head coach of Oakland, from yesterday talking to the media and saying, we're going to want to run on this NC State team because we think they will be tired playing their seventh game in 11 days. The market has now started to move towards the Golden Grizzlies. The hooks are starting to disappear, pretty much 6 across the market. Do you agree with the market move here with Oakland taking some money?
I do, and I took 6.5 with the Golden Grizzlies for what you just said. 7 games in 11 days. This is a one-day prep for that zone that Oakland runs. Only Merrimack of the 362 Division I teams ran more zone than Oakland this year. So NC State should know really essentially what they're in for. I don't know how much they're going to run necessarily because, you know, what we saw, a high-scoring game on Thursday, we kind of have the perception that, oh, Oakland's this, you know, up-tempo team. They're really not. If you look at it, they've slowed down some teams in the Horizon League that like to, you know, get up-tempo and whatnot. So, yeah, I wonder about NC State, how much energy that they are going to have. And one thing to keep in mind with Oakland is because they zone, they don't foul a lot. If you recall on Thursday, Townsend, their big guy down low, I know Jack Gelke, you know, got all the ink, and rightfully so, 10 of 20 from three. But Oakland doesn't foul a lot. So they don't send you to the line. I think NC State is going to be the team that's going to be fouling, that is going to be gambling a little bit on defense and being a little tired. I just think that this is a tricky prep for Kevin Keats and NC State. So I like the Golden Grizzlies.
DJ Burns, we'll see if he can be able to help out NC State. But if Oakland's hitting those shots like we saw last Thursday, good luck against the Golden Grizzlies here. Wes, a game that we haven't really discussed much here today is Duquesne and Illinois. The Illini laying 10 against the Dukes, total 147. It looked a little shaky for Illinois in the first half against Morehead State. Then they pull away in the second half here. Do you like them here in this spot against Duquesne?
I do. I think that this is the end of the line for Keith Dambrot. He kind of had a funny line. He's like, I'm trying to retire, and they won't let me retire. ironically enough, Greg Campy and Keith Dambrot both had the most wins in active college basketball without getting an NCAA tournament win, wow. And they both get it the same day on Thursday. So, look, you know, the favorites, despite the fact that we think that the dogs are barking, the double-digit favorites, 11-3, so far in the NCAA tournament, make it 12-3 here. I just think Illinois, you know, they're kind of sloppy in the first half against Morehead State. And then in the second half, they just absolutely took them apart. And, you know, Duquesne, I know they're going to want to try to slow down the game. And they were able to kind of do that against BYU. But BYU didn't have guys that can really, I mean, they're a motion offense. So they didn't have guys that can create their own shots. Illinois has two, TJ Shannon and Marcus Domask. And I just think that that's going to be tough for Duquesne here. Danger was really the guy that won the game. Danger, get on the floor.
Shout out Mystical.
I was like, did we just get a mystical quote from yes. Wes Reynolds? That's what I'm talking about.
Not even 9 a.m.
Didn't have that on my bingo card.
Yeah, he was the guy that blew up the screens on Thursday, and really, I thought in the second half, led that Illinois run. So, look, Duquesne's been a great story, but I think Illinois pulls away here in the second half, much like they did on Thursday, like the Illini.
Hey, Wes, before we let you run, we got about a minute. The two 12 seeds that'll be playing tomorrow, Grand Canyon catching 6 and James Madison catching 7.5. Early lean, you like either one of those dogs?
Haven't played either one yet. Would lean a little bit with the Dukes, though.
Yeah.
I thought the were actually going to get beat in the first round by Wisconsin, and Wisconsin looked awful. And a lot of that was James Madison, not just the bad Wisconsin shooting. So I like JMU, 7.5. That seems like a pretty big number for a very well-coached team. Mark Byington is probably going to get some run for some big jobs here over the next couple weeks on the carousel. So nothing yet for GCU Alabama, but initial lean to James Madison.
Yeah, I mean, Duke, I'm not even sure if they looked that great yesterday or it was more so Vermont just going cold from the field in that game, but they were able to go ahead and win and cover. He is Wes Reynolds, joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. Make sure you check him out on VSiN tonight, weeknights, 11 to 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Wes, good luck with the bets, man. Thanks for coming on.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Awesome stuff there from Wes Reynolds. He also likes Oregon, so put that another one in the Ducks column.
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
Come on.
Let's
quack
hope so.
Our way to a victory.
Matt Youmans joins us next here on the Lombardi Line. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code Lombardi. You'll get VSiN Pro access to everything we do throughout the entire year, the daily best bets, the betting splits, the betting system, the premium analysis, 24/7 video access, but most importantly, this time of year, access to our March Madness betting hub with picks for every game of the tournament. Just use promo code Lombardi to get your first year for only $199 for VSiN Pro access. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. He's Tim Murray. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. And joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, it's our buddy Matt Youmans, host of VSiN tonight, 11 to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, weeknights here on VSiN. Matt, hope all is well. Hope the tournament's been treating you well. Let's start off with Gonzaga in Kansas here. You have a play in this game. The Bulldogs down to 3.5-point favorites in some spots. So more money pouring in on the Jayhawks here as we get closer to tip-off. Total 152. What do you like in this one?
Well, the tournament treated me like crap on Thursday and then bounced back a little bit on Friday. So, and a little bit better. I know Tim Murray's in a much better mood because, boy, he was disgruntled on Thursday, just like I was.
Nah, Matt, I didn't text you.
I saw his record on the VSiN Pro page for Friday, and I'm sure he's got a big smile today. So much happier, Tim Murray. I'm going to say this about, I don't understand why these games in Salt Lake City are starting so early.
Same.
You know, on the West Coast, You got a game starting at, what, 10:45 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:45 Pacific. Imagine if you had tickets to that game. You'd be a little bit upset as you got to show up in the morning and you're listening to Femi and Tim on your drive to the arena. That's way too early of a start. I did play Gonzaga. But I was actually trying to get the bet in about 4 this morning. And for some reason, the app wouldn't let me get it in. It kept saying incorrect action. So I said, okay, I'll put it in when I wake up in the morning. And the line actually dropped -175. So from 190 to 175, I played the Zags here. I'm not crazy about laying this number of 4.5. But I do expect the Zags to advance. And when you watch the game Thursday night, Bill Self, that was a high-stress game where Kansas had a 22-point lead. He got cut to 1, and they got lucky on a bogus foul call late, or might have got beat by Samford. But Bill Self had to play 4 starters for 35 or more minutes in that game. He doesn't have much of a bench anyway, and I think fatigue is going to be a factor for Kansas, and it's just a shorthanded team without Kevin McCuller, who I consider to be the MVP of that team. You know, if you're relying on Nick Timberlake and DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams and guys like that to win you a tournament game against Gonzaga, I think you're in a little bit of trouble. And also with the Zags, you got Graham Ike, a horse in the low post who can go to work on Hunter Dickinson down there, and a guy who can kind of match up with Dickinson, who's Kansas' best player at this point. So Mark Few, man, I think this is amazing. It's not talked about much. He's been to 8 straight Sweet 16s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you make it 9 after today. But again, I played the Zags -175 and didn't lay the points. This is a Kansas team that's been blown out a couple times late in the year. We've seen some quit in this Kansas team. 29-point loss at Texas Tech, 30-point loss at Houston. I do like the Zags today.
Yeah, and they need to be tested more, that Gonzaga team. You know, they're just not tested enough. Just the most consistent team maybe in the entire country when it comes to the NCAA tournament. Matt Heumann's joining us here on our Progressive Guest Line. All right, let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. We've got Michigan State and North Carolina. That line around 4 in favor of the 1 seed, North Carolina. And then Texas and Tennessee, that line, you know, sitting around 6.5 with the Vols. If you put those two together, you can get plus money on a money line parlay. Which is the angle you're going? You expect Tennessee and UNC both to take care of business today.
Yeah, it's a little bit risky. I mean, I put this in overnight too, and I put the money line parlay played +120, and that was on the money lines that I got at the Westgate Superbook. So I went ahead and fired on that again. As you know, I don't like to bet a lot of favorites, and definitely don't like to play points in this tournament, and I decided to play it that way. Now, this Michigan State-North Carolina line is so low, it's suspicious to me. I mean, there were 3.5s hanging out there last night. It's funny because before the first round, it seemed like not many people wanted to bet on Michigan State. And I heard people scoffing at Tom Izzo in March. Well, this team's not the same. It's not the same Michigan State team. And then the Spartans win a game, and now all of a sudden they're only 3.5, 4-point dogs to North Carolina and Charlotte. This is a Carolina team that does fit that national championship formula, too. It's top 20 in offensive and defensive efficiency, right around there, top 25. R.J. Davis is the type of scoring guard who can carry a team a long way in the tournament. I've got Carolina winning my bracket. I've certainly got Carolina winning this game, but this line's so low, it makes me think that Michigan State's the right side. Maybe it's an odds maker. I respect the odds maker in the betting market. And I know that Tom Izzo is going to find a way to muck this game up and probably slow Carolina down. And it's probably going to be down to the wire type of game. But I believe Carolina is going to prevail. They got more ways to get easy baskets. Michigan State's got to work too hard to score. And Carolina's got more ways to get easy buckets. So I like Carolina to prevail. And it's tough to trust Rick Barnes laying that type of number, basically to win by 3 possessions against a Texas team that really did not play all that well against Colorado State. If you look at the box score, Texas shot 1-for-14 from 3 and had, I believe, 3 assists in that game against Colorado State and still won by 12. So it's not like the Longhorns were all that impressive in the first round. And with Dalton Kincaid being a guy that the balls can go to on the offensive end, I do trust the Tennessee team a little bit more. So money line parlay there for me with Carolina and Tennessee.
You know, it's so funny. Michigan State and North Carolina is just incredibly fascinating. I think before the season started, maybe people thought that this might be a Final Four game, and here we see it in the second round here with Michigan State kind of underachieving in the regular season. But as everyone has said, March is the month of Izzo. Let's get over to Oakland and NC State, a couple of double-digit seeds. One of them is going to make the Sweet 16. NC State right now laying six. Seventh game in 11 days is what Coach Campy's been talking about here. Totals 146.5. Do you think that the Wolfpack will be a little bit too tired in this spot against the Golden Grizzlies?
Well, there are a lot of different angles to look at here, but the two I'm going to focus on is I think it's tough to face a quick turnaround like NC State is when you're facing a zone defense. And Greg Campy's zone, obviously, Kentucky was totally unprepared for it. It was comical how bad Kentucky was on the offensive and defensive ends. It would have been a lot more would have been a lot funnier if I didn't have a lot of Kentucky futures money, so I wasn't really laughing at after the game. But when you break down the tape and look at how ill-prepared Kentucky was on both ends of the floor, it's a joke. And I got to think that, you know, most of these teams don't face many zone defenses throughout the season, so you don't really have a zone offense that you can just say, hey, we're gonna run zone and all the players are going to run it with rhythm. It's going to go smoothly. That's not the case. And I think it's tough in a quick turnaround to prepare for a zone D, and NC State's going to have some issues there. You know, you can talk about the new star, Jack Golkey, and his 10 threes and say, well, there's probably going to be some shooting regression from three, and I think you certainly can expect that. But he's not a one-man show. They got Trey Townsend. They got DQ Cole. They got some other guys who can shoot it, too. This Oakland team is capable. And also, NC State's been doing all this. You talked about seven games in 11 or 12 days, whatever it is. Most of that work has been done as an underdog. And now all of a sudden you're going to flip NC State to a significant favorite. There's enough there. Usually the Cinderella dies in the second round. But I went ahead and took a shot here with Oakland plus 6.5.
Matt Youmans joining us here on the Lombardi Line. It's funny you mentioned that, Matt, because if you go back and you look at all the games that they played, I don't know the spread of the Syracuse game that they ultimately won off the top of my head, but really the only game they weren't a dog was or weren't a favorite or weren't a dog, excuse me, was that Louisville game to start the ACC tournament. All right, before we let you run a game tomorrow, I always joke on the college football betting podcast that we do, that you've got a great read on your alma mater with Purdue when it comes to the football side of things. What about the hoop side of things? Purdue looks the part yesterday. Now they're laying 11.5 against Utah State tomorrow.
Well, Purdue looked the part against a Grambling team that was just outmanned. You know, let's be honest about it. Utah State has they got a couple big guys who can actually hold up against Zach Edey in the low post. They shoot it pretty well, you know, from three and from the free throw line. And Danny Sprinkle's really he's a rising star as a coach. And I think the Aggies last night were really, really impressive. And for all the people who were trashing the Mountain West, and rightly so up until that game last night, that was a big win for the Mountain West to have Utah State take out TCU so convincingly last night. I think playing with house money, Purdue's got, you know, playing with a lot of pressure because you got a lot of expectations. When these games get close, those guys can get a little bit tight. Mm-hmm. I thought the number's a little bit too high here. I was going to make it around 8.5 or 9. I took 11 with Utah State. I'm going to take a look at Clemson and Yale as a couple of dogs on Sunday.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Matt. Good luck with the bets, man.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back on the other side. There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with the DraftKings Sportsbook because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 that you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use code TLL when you sign up and earn $500 in bonus bets for every $1,000 that you wager. Now, this is designed specifically for our VSiN listeners and viewers. No better time to take advantage of it right now than today's second round action. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Bebfe alongside Tim Murray. Thank you to Wes Reynolds and Matt Youmans for joining us in the last couple of segments, giving out their best bets for today. Tim, you ready to run down the card?
Let's
here?
Go.
We got 8 games.
Yes, sir.
That we got to get to here on the second round action, and we'll go in rotation order. We'll start with the game that's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Michigan State and North Carolina. The Tar Heels, 4-point favorites, total 141.5. We were watching the pregame show, the game day on ESPN. 2 of the 3, like Sparty, January, February, Izzo. How does that make you feel as somebody that I think you were kind of leaning in that direction?
I was looking a little bit towards the dog. I thought, and I still believe, that UNC is the most vulnerable one. I think the West is the most wide open region. That all being said, I don't think I'm going to get to the window here. My lean would be Michigan State. Can they recuperate what they did against Mississippi State? We had Justin Perry in the program earlier in the show. Their shot quality box score actually had Mississippi State winning in that first round. So take that for what you will. It's not, the gospel, but a lean towards Michigan State just because that line, as Matt alluded to, and I'm one to embrace the stink from time to time. Mm-hmm. That line is a little stinky, pretty short, but no play for me on this one. A lean towards Michigan State, but no play for me.
I wonder if the sportsbook will refund me my money if I show them the shot quality score there after I had Mississippi State money line in that opening
me too.
Game.
Yeah, that was always a great. Great start to the
proof.
Mickey Mouse SEC just started trending, right? Right, Femi? That's a true Mickey Mouse conference.
Well, let's continue with that Mickey Mouse conference and the Tennessee Volunteers. Mickey Mouse, how about Rick Barnes in March? You really want to back that? He's a 6.5-point favorite. The Volunteers laying it against Texas, total 145.5. I know that's a popular angle. Everyone betting against Tennessee. Yep. I kind of want to do it, but I almost think it might be a little bit too obvious here. How do you square this one up?
I think Tennessee wins. I'm not going on a limb by saying that. They're a 6.5-point favorite. If you want to do what Matt Youmans did and pair them in a money line parlay. I got a little fun money line parlay today. I'm not recommending this, but I threw NC State, Illinois, and Tennessee together. I think it was like +130 or something like that. But I do think Tennessee wins. I don't really want to necessarily get involved, from a standpoint of the spread. But yeah, I think this Texas team is one that has befuddled me a bit this year. And, you look at the performance against Colorado State. Was that a great performance by them? Was that a Colorado State who just could not hit anything, especially in that first half? So, look, Max Asemus, he's done it before. When he was at Oral Roberts, now he's here at Texas. He's an elite scorer. They've certainly got the talent there on the Texas side. But I like this Tennessee team. Call me crazy. I think the two best teams in that region are the two teams that have failed and disappointed us every single year in Purdue and Tennessee. I think they do match up in the Elite Eight, but I'm not going to play the spread here. I do think Tennessee, though, takes care of business.
It's a made-for-TV matchup, Rick Barnes going up against Texas. So is Dana Altman going up against his former team, the Creighton Blue Jays. Oregon catching 4.5. A lot of money coming in on the Ducks here this morning right now. The Blue Jays, 4.5-point favorites, total 146. This is a game that both of us like here. Quack, quack. Let's hope so later on this evening.
Yeah, don't take the 4.5. Look around. There are 5s out there, but this has been on the move. It opened 7 at DraftKings. It's all the way down to 4.5. I wish I got a piece of that 7. Was able to grab a 5.5 last night when we were doing the show VEASAN primetime there. Look, is it becoming a trendy dog? I don't know, but I just look at the way Oregon has been playing as of late, running through the Pac-12 tournament, and this team has just gotten healthy. Nafali Dante versus Kalkbrenner is going to be a phenomenal matchup down low. And, Kalkbrenner, for the most part, Femi, doesn't have people of his size kind of going at him, and I think that's going to be a really intriguing angle to look at. Creighton, 10 of 16, at least the starters from 3. Baylor Shireman could not miss. They are capable of doing this. They're a very, very good three-point shooting team. Ask UConn about that when they played in the middle of February. That said, I think there's a little bit of regression there. Look, can Quiznart continue to do what he's been doing? He had 40 points in that opening win against South Carolina. That's a fair question. But ultimately, I'm going to back Dana Altman, 16-6-1 ATS, Femi, since he got to Oregon in the NCAA tournament.
Those are the two important words, Dana Altman. That's why I'm backing the Ducks. I backed them against
January, February, Altman. Yeah.
Let the people know. I backed them against Arizona in the semifinals. I backed them against Colorado in the championship of the Pac-12 tournament. I backed them against South Carolina. We're going back to the well until the wheels fall off here. Dana Altman, if you're going to give me plus money on him in March, I'm always going to bet it. I like that side there, the Oregon Ducks. How about NC State laying 6 against Oakland? Right now, that total is at 146.5. Total's interesting because Campy said that, hey, we're going to run. That this team has played 7 games in 11 days. We're gonna go ahead and run and see if they can get tired. Do you like the over, maybe, perhaps, in this spot?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting angle if Greg Campy is a man of his word. And he kind of seems like the type of guy who's not going to lie to anyone. He's just going to do what he says he's going to
seems
do.
Seems incredibly nice.
I want to read Chris Felica, the Bears' tweet. NC State-Oakland, the 7th 11-14 matchup. Each of the previous 6 were won by the 11 seed by at least 13 points covering each one. So, look, trends are meant to die. I know Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds both like the Golden Grizzlies here. I'm not going to lay the 6, Femi, but I would be a bit surprised. And if you're in a survivor pool, you know, for the NCAA tournament, I think Illinois is a better play because I don't know when I would use Illinois again. That all being said, I wouldn't fault you if you went NC State. I think NC State wins this game. And Jack Golke, my man, with the sweet receding hairline. Look, I hope you have a big game, but I don't think 10 for 20 is coming again.
Yeah, nothing for me between NC State and Oakland. How about Duquesne and Illinois? I know Wes, we had him on earlier. He likes the Illini. They're laying 10 total, 147.
Yeah, I think Duquesne, what a great performance, a great defensive team. But Illinois is one of those high-variance teams. I had Morehead State in the first round. They were only up 1 at the break, and then they were able to run away and hide in that second half. Danger, as we got the mystical lyric dropped by Wes Reynolds.
Before 9 a.m.
Was absolutely a monster in that game. Terrence Shannon, at times, looks like he's the best player in the country. So I think Illinois wins this game. Once again, no play for me on the spread, but I would tend to agree with Wes. I think this is, I am in a survivor pool. I did use Illinois because I think Iowa State will win. We'll see. And I don't know if I'd use Illinois again. I think they win today, and I'm pretty confident in that they will take care of business.
Yeah, the early game in Omaha there, Washington State against Iowa State. A lot of love for the Cougs here in the market. We're down to 6.5 total, 129.
Yeah, I would take a little flyer on Washington State. Look, I went against them in round 1. Drake let me down again, so looking forward to backing them come next year, and they will get up 8 and be, you know, leading in the final minutes there and let that down. But
that's how they do it.
Kyle Smith's squad is incredibly long. Miles Rice is 6'3", their point guard. Outside of that, everyone is 6'8 or longer. I do feel like this Washington State team can ugly it up a little bit. You're looking at a very low total of 129. Washington State, top 25 in the country in defensive efficiency. Iowa State, the best defensive team in the country. Washington State wants to play it slow. So I think this is going to be an ugly game. I would actually lean a little bit towards the under in this particular game between Washington State, Iowa State. And with that being said, there's usually a correlation. If you're taking an under in a pretty low game, I would look to take the points. So I would jump on Wazoo plus if there's a 7 out there, Rogue 7, but 6.5 I still think is worth a look.
Yeah, I took some 7 yesterday. I also played a little bit of money line plus 250. I think this is going to be a really close game, like you mentioned there. Maybe a coin flip game towards the end. Give me the Cougs. If Iowa State goes on those scoring droughts, could be problematic for the Cyclones. All right, the games in Salt Lake City, Arizona. A little bit of push-pull here in the market.
Yeah.
Now seeing some 8.5s, even a 9 out there as the Wildcats take on Dayton, total 148.
Give me that 9. Yeah, that 9 just popped up at one shop here in town and across the country. I will take that 9. I think Dayton profiles as a team that can pull an upset. We were just talking with Mike Somich, who will be up top of the hour. These are the types of teams I want to back in the NCAA tournament. When they're a big dog, they play slow, and they shoot threes, and that's exactly what Dayton is capable of doing. I know Justin Perry, he said he liked the favorite. He thinks that Dayton maybe, after that magical comeback, is going to run out of gas. That's a fair criticism. 44% of their shot attempts are three-pointers. They shoot 40% from three, and they're 336th in adjusted tempo. Give me those points. I know Tommy Lloyd, 0-5, 18. 0-4-1, depending on what number you got against Long Beach State. I like Dayton. If you get that 9, give me that 9. That's the play I made.
Finally, Gonzaga and Kansas, and we're pretty much down to 3.5 across the board, total 152.5.
Yeah, that line move's interesting, huh? It feels like Gonzaga, popular play. Now you're getting pushback on the Kansas side. I'm going to sit this one out. I want to see the Zags move on here in this particular spot, but I think the market's telling you something here, Femi. Going from 4.5 down to 3.5, a pretty strong move towards the Jayhawks today.
All right, wrap up your Best bets, what do you like here today?
Yeah, let's go Dayton plus the 9. Let's go Oregon plus the 5. Those will be my two best bets. I will be writing up something for Sunday as well for VSiN.com.
All right, and I'm hashtag back the pack. I like Oregon outright. I like Washington State outright, also on the spread as well. We're going to go ahead and go with the conference champions. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. For Tim Murray, for our producer Elliot Bowman, the entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Benfei saying good luck with all the bets. The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Somich coming up next.